I want to continue to look at this beautiful encounter that Mary has with Jesus in the garden. This is in John 20, starting in verse 11. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. So again, I think it's interesting and important to emphasize that Mary Magdalene is the first human to see the risen Jesus. And it is her patient watching and love that afforded her that opportunity. The disciple whom Jesus loved and Peter, they believed, they didn't understand, they went away, but she remains there crying. She remains there confused, but still loving Jesus, still looking for the Lord. And again, I think it's her whom the Lord meets, and I think that's significant. I think even John is suggesting that she's an example of the kind of remaining and clinging and looking for that all through the Gospel of John, Jesus has commended. Remain in me, abide in me, abide in my love. I think this example of Mary, even in her sorrow, even in her confusion, remaining there looking for Jesus, is to be an example to the church, an example to believers of how we should be with Jesus, looking for him at all times. And I think also that, again, we see the emotion in Mary of all humans in the face of death. And it's right there in that place that she's getting ready to meet him. Remember, I suggested that Jesus' garments that are described in the verses prior to this section, the linen garments that he's laid aside, are a reference to or an echo of or a fulfillment of the linen garments of the high priest on the Day of Atonement when he took off his glorious garments and went into the Holy of Holies to sprinkle blood. And then when he was done, he came out and took off those holy garments. And the scripture says the high priest is to lay them in a holy place. So again, Jesus has made the place of death, the place of the furthest separation that humans can experience from God, the Holy of Holies. And this passage furthers that because the slab upon which Jesus laid, Mary now sees, has an angel at one end and an angel at the other end. And of course, that should remind us of the Ark of the Covenant where the high priest would go and sprinkle the blood. So John wants to tell us that the Ark of the Covenant and the temple and all those procedures of bringing people back into the presence of God are fulfilled here in what Jesus did in his death and in his resurrection. He has shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins and sprinkled it in the Holy of Holies. And we'll see the next stage of that here in this encounter. Her turning around in that moment when Jesus addresses her, she thinks he's the gardener, but in that moment when she turns around, all history turns. Again, the first human has seen that death has been undone, has seen the risen Lord Jesus. And it's a beautiful encounter because it's personal. Remember earlier, Jesus has said, the sheep hear the voice of the good shepherd. He knows them. He calls them by name. And the moment of the turning is when Jesus calls Mary by name. And it's a beautiful moment. She speaks in Aramaic. He would have spoken in Aramaic, Miriam. He would have said, Miriam. And she says, Rabboni, right? Six syllables. and the turning of the world, the turning of history, the changing of the tide of death. Rabboni doesn't just mean teacher, but it means my teacher. It would have been her regular daily way of addressing Jesus. And she suddenly realizes that death is not the last word, and that Jesus has undone death. Death has met its match. That interesting statement, "Don't cling to me," I think certainly she probably embraced him in some way. And I think there's a suggestion here that Jesus' high priestly activity isn't done. Remember, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would sprinkle blood in the Holy of Holies, then come out, put on his glorious garments, and offer up an ascension offering. And that offering would be burned up, and the smoke would ascend, as it were, to God's presence. And the high priest, or the animal of sacrifice, in that way is a substitute, bringing the worshiper into the presence of God. So Jesus hasn't completed that sequence. He's died. He's shed his blood. He's sprinkled it on the Ark of the Covenant, on the mercy seat. But now he has to ascend to the Father and bring the worshiper to the Father, because he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world and allows us to come into the holy place. And so Jesus says, "Don't cling to me. I'm not done. I'm not done with my high priestly ministry." But then he says, "But go tell my brothers that you've seen me." And so in the Gospel of John, really in all of life, when one encounters Jesus, one is always given a mission. And her mission is to go and announce this message: "I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." This is a remarkable moment. Jesus is the Son of God by right, by nature. That is who he is from all eternity. We are not the sons of God because of sin, because we have made life on our own apart from God. But through the work of Jesus, he now tells his disciples, "You, as a gift, can call my Father your Father. Call my God your God." So in this last step in the sequence, Jesus ascends to the Father, and he brings all who believe in him into the Father's presence. And the scripture is full of this language of Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, and those who believe in him are seated with him. And our lives have been turned upside down and inside out because of it. And so she's given this mission, and she, you could say, is the first missionary in church history, because she, in her encounter with Jesus, is sent to tell the disciples this news, that she has seen the risen Lord. Just one last, maybe parenthetical thought. I think one of the powers, or one of the great gifts of C.S. Lewis in his Narnia Chronicles, is his ability to describe an encounter with Aslan. And it's usually these individuals that have an encounter with Aslan where their sin is discussed, where he is displayed in glory and goodness and kindness and mercy. And I think it's maybe one of the few places in all of literature I've encountered someone who's taken the spirit of these individual encounters with Jesus in the Gospels and been able to translate them into another setting. And I think that's where their power comes from. So at any rate, let us thank God for our great high priest who has gone ahead of us into death, has made the place of death a pathway into new life and into the presence of the Father, and has ascended to the Father, where he, even now, continues to pray on our behalf. And may we encounter him all the time in our lives so that he can send us on mission to those whom we live with. Amen. Lord bless you.